Hi, Bill.
How are you?
How are you doing?
Well, I'm doing
great. Good, man. I couldn't be a lot better.
I'm telling you, I think everyone is excited and feeling good. We are.
Well, it's great. Man, I was so happy for our seniors. Kind of the one thing they hadn't accomplished, they've accomplished about everything else you can imagine. And to see the joy on their face after, you know, being there a few times and not getting it done, and to know that they could go into the locker room after the game and celebrate instead of be in tears, it was pretty neat.
Yeah. You know, the one thing I noticed when I saw it on TV was that you had a big smile on your face, and even when you went out to shake hands with the Grand Valley coach, you still had the big smile on your face. It must have been a big relief.
Well, like I said, I don't know that it was so much for me a relief. I was genuinely just thrilled for our kids because I knew how bad they wanted it, in this group especially. And, you know, to be able to see them and know they're going to be able to celebrate, that was worth it all right there.
Yep, we're talking with head coach Mel Churchma of the Northwest Missouri State Bearcats. They won their third national championship on Saturday down in Florence, Alabama, an exciting football game, 30-28 over Grand Valley State. Where do you start with this game? Coach, your team came out and looked like they were playing with a purpose. They came out and took charge of the game very early on.
Well, we did. We played well on defense, got a stop, at about midfield, and then our offense came out and just drove the length of the field and scored. Got another stop, drove 97 yards and scored the second time we had the ball, then had a great punt return and got another touchdown a play later. We were up 21-0, I think, with 10 minutes to go in the second quarter, and really off to a great start, and then it looked like we were going to put them away. We were driving in to score right before the half, and, a really strange call on a fumble right on the goal line where I won't get into it, but we should have scored, and so we go in 21-0 at halftime, and then in the start of the second half, we actually had a first down, and then we dropped a pass and ended up on third down. We dropped a pass that would have been about a 20-yard gain, a guy wide open and a perfect pass. And the next play, we threw an interception, and that seemed to really turn the momentum for them, and they got a few other breaks. We had two or three pass interference calls in the third quarter, and we turned the ball over once on a fumble, and we also had a punt go over our head that gave them tremendous field position when we should have had the ball about midfield. So the third quarter, we did about everything we could to let them back into the game. The only good thing we did in the third quarter, we blocked the extra point after the first touchdown and ran it back, and that two-point margin ended up being pretty big because late in the game, instead of it being 28-21, it was 30-20, and when they got down there close on fourth down, instead of going for a touchdown, they had to get a field goal and a touchdown anyway. They took the field goal, and that gave us the 7-point margin.
Yeah, let's go back to that punt return. For fans that may not have watched the game on ESPN2, you missed a great football game to begin with, but you might have seen it as one of ESPN's top 10 plays. You call those pancakes, don't you, where the guy just got blindsided. It was a great legal block, but that was the last block that kind of sprung your punt return for a touchdown. This game is such a blur in my mind because there was so much going on, but who was it that laid that hit out, and just talk about how that punt developed?
Well, it was, we had the first time they punted, we went for the block, and we didn't get it. We got close. We got a 5-yard penalty for running into the kicker. So the second time we went for the return, and, it was a pretty good punt. In order to get a good return, you need a good punt. We had a good punt. We got, we held up their wide people so that our punt return man could get a start. He made a move up the middle and then broke back to his left, to the outside. And when you do that, people start peeling back. And Trent Covington, one of our backup safeties who plays in most of our special teams, was coming down that side, and one of their players turned just to start taking the angle to cut off Jordan Simmons, the return guy, and that's where Trent just blindsided him. And that's not a pancake; that's a decleater. His feet were higher in the air than the rest of his body, and I was surprised that he got up after the hit. But that really kind of ignited everybody, and it was you know, Jordan returned it back down to, I think, the 17, and then the next play, LaRon scored. So that was a huge play in the game for us.
Now, I know you said you don't want to go there, but I have to ask, because I was a little confused when I saw the play on at the goal line. It looked like it was just a run play that got stuffed, and that his forward momentum was stopped, and then all of a sudden they're running with the football. What did the and how did the officials explain that play to you?
Well, they really didn't explain it. We were on the 2 yard line, first and goal on the 2, and we just ran wedge to our fullback, and he was close to getting in. It's hard to tell if he was in or not, but his momentum was definitely stopped. Two guys hit him, and they actually had him off his feet. So I said, the only way he has momentum when he's off his feet is if he's Superman and can fly, and he's not. So, his momentum was stopped. The head linesman's coming in, marking the ball, and then they turned him, and one of the guys ripped the ball out of his hand and kind of staggered the other way with it and fell down, and nobody, none of the officials really knew what to do, and so all of a sudden they just signaled, Grand Valley ball, and we couldn't get it changed. It's that part of, we had instant replay, but that's one of the things that's not replayable, is whether it's whether his momentum is stopped or not. They can't really, that's not something that you can call for on the instant replay, so you're at the mercy of the officials.
Oh, boy. All right, now I have one other question. I believe you had two interceptions that were called back on pass interference.
Mm-hmm.
One was taken back for a touchdown.
Right.
And it looked like they called pass interference, but it was a block after the ball was caught. Is that what they called the interference on, or was there something before that we didn't see on TV?
No, they called the interference, and again, I don't like to be critical of officials, but they called interference before the ball was ever thrown, which you can't do. In pro football, it would have been illegal contact because it was about 7 yards downfield. The receiver ran, and our safety ran head-on into each other. I mean, the receiver was protecting himself. Our safety collisioned him, and then the receiver broke off the safety, and the safety dropped back. It was Miles Burnside. He dropped back off and ended up catching the ball. There's nothing wrong with that. There's totally nothing wrong with that. If the ball had been in the air, it's interference, but the ball was in the quarterback's hand at least a second after that happened, and then they called that back. So, instead of really, Bill, instead of looking at that point, that would have put it up. You have the one before the half, and you have that, and we would have been up 35-0 in the third quarter. It's a totally different game.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely. We're talking with Northwest Missouri State Bearcat football coach Mel Churchmill, recapping their Division II championship win over Grand Valley State on Saturday, 30-23. I was watching this game, and I was trying not to be a homer and saying to myself, you know what, why does it seem like the Bearcats always on these questionable calls, nothing ever goes their way? And I was thinking, don't get like that. Just watch the game, as a journalist. But it was awful tough. Now you have a like you said, there was an interception. It looked like you had some momentum going after the blocked extra point. You're up 23-6. You're moving the ball again, and then you fumble the ball back. In your mind, are you thinking, oh boy, what could go wrong here? What is happening to us here?
Well, we were doing everything we could to fuel their fire, and that's a tough thing to do. It's so hard. Momentum is such a strange thing, and it's hard to turn momentum. And you need a big play. And like you mentioned, the blocked extra point was a big play, but then we turned right around and did some things that hurt us, and then we had, then we finally are moving the ball late in the third quarter, and we're down on about there with I think Jordan had about a 15, 18-yard run. We're down to about their 20-yard line, and they strip the ball. And I mean, it's a fumble. He fumbles, and they recover. And so everything that you think you're gaining, you've lost again, and we didn't finally gain any momentum until it was 23-20. They scored in the fourth quarter to make it 23-20 with about 10 minutes left. And then on fourth and three, we completed a pass to Jake Soy for a touchdown. And that seemed to pick us back up again. It put us at that 10-point margin. But even after that, they were able to drive down and kick a short field goal to make it 30-23. And then the onside kick, they actually recovered. But fortunately, they touched it before it went 10 yards. And put us in position to be able to basically just about run out the clock, although we had to give it to them, and they got one first down before they turned it back over to us.
Yeah, it was a thrilling finish. And I remember a couple of weeks ago we were talking, you were saying you were having trouble with your field goal kicking. So when I saw you go for it on fourth and three, I kind of had that in the back of my mind that, well, there's been some struggles. You may as well go for it at that point. That was a tough pass to make. It was a little lob pass, and then once Jake Soy caught it from Blake Bowles, they couldn't bring him down. I mean, it turned into a first down. It just went into a touchdown.
Well, what it was is we had a fourth and three, and so we do a check system, and it was a two-play check where once we get to the line, they check back to the sideline with us. The quarterback checks to me, and we get the call from up above from our offensive coordinator, whether we're going to go with the run or the pass. Well, they had 10 people in the box, so to speak, to stop the run, and so we didn't. You know, we just said, and Adam Doral said, you know what? He said it's our best against their best, so we're going to throw it, and that's what we did. And Blake made a good throw, and Jake made a great catch, and had the strength not only to get the first down, but get in the end zone. That was a huge play.
When did you guys return back to Merrillville then? That night, Saturday night?
We came back Saturday night. We had a celebration at the Marriott there in Florence, victory celebration from 5. We were there from 5 to 7. We left there at 7, got to the airport, got in the air a little after 9, got back to St. Joe a little after 10, and we were back in Merrillville a little after 11, and then we had a huge welcoming party here. We probably had over 1,000 people here when we got back into Merrillville and opened up the gym and let people celebrate with our players there. So it was a long night, but it was a fun night, and we have great fans, and they certainly deserved to have a chance to congratulate our players and get autographs and have pictures taken with them. It was a great time for everybody.
Well, it was absolutely exciting, a great way to cap off a season, and I'm sure it feels extra special when you look at what's happened the last 4 years leading up to this. Mel Churchma, the head football coach at Northwest Missouri State. Now, you're back in the office today. What are you working on, recruiting? Do you take any time off?
We're working on recruiting. We're about 4 weeks behind in recruiting, so we've had meetings this morning, and I'm spending a lot of time on the phone, but our staff is busy recruiting. We'll put off the celebrations for a few weeks until we get to Christmas vacation, and hopefully we'll have a little bit of time then to catch our breath and relax. But, signing date's the first Wednesday in February, and so we got a lot of ground to cover before we get to that point, because we want to have a good class and be ready for another run in the future.
Well, you may be behind the eight ball when you say you're 4 weeks behind recruiting, but it's awful nice, though, to go to someone's house and say, you know, we've played in the national title game for the last 5 years in a row. That's a big selling point.
Well, the big selling point is we've been on television 11 times in the last 5 years on national TV, and there's no substitute for that. Nothing comes close. It's unbelievable. We get kids now that, 7, 8, 10 years ago, probably wouldn't even considered even visiting us, and now they want to be a part of our program because they see what it's all about, and the exposure we've gotten has just been unbelievable.
Well, Mel Churchma, head football coach at Northwest Missouri State, again, congratulations. Enjoy the holidays, enjoy this championship, and thanks for all of your time that you've given the Missouri Net this season, and we look forward to talking with you down the road and getting ready for next season.
Well, Bill, I really appreciate it. I appreciate all the coverage you've given us on the Missouri Net, and we're going to do everything we can to make another run next year.